How shall we understand the Sabbath as a gift from Eden? Hello, this is Good Word. I'm Dave Thomas, your moderator for the quarter. All quarter long, we have been talking about creation, the question of origins. We began talking about some of the particulars of the creation event itself. But today, we move to the question of the final act of creation, the establishment of the Sabbath. I'm happy to have my continuing conversation partners. They have been good colleagues, Bob Cushman, scientist, and Alden Thompson, a biblical scholar. Gentlemen, one can hardly complete a reading of the creation account in Genesis without noticing this final drama, the establishment of a day as a memorial within time, known as the Sabbath. What are some of the things that you think we should talk about when it comes to the Sabbath? It seems like there are a number of things that we could talk about. What suggestions would you make? What would you like to bring out?
Well, when I think of the Sabbath as a part of creation, I know that often we talk about it being a memorial of the creation event. But to me, it's even more than that, because I think it's an expression of God's relationship with us as humans. He wants to spend time with us. And it's a model for us in modern times, that it's a time that's set aside for us to spend with God and with family, those that are close to us, and to have a spiritual intimacy that we may not be able to have at that level on any other day.
I was thinking about the Sabbath as an environmental strategy, Bob.
Can you explain a little bit?
Well, yeah, that if the Sabbath is a day of rest, how expansively do we understand? Do we want to understand that rest? I know some people say that's the day to sleep in, or to sleep in the afternoon. That's the rest they take. But I wonder, especially in view of the Old Testament, which granted sabbaticals to the land and to the fields, I wonder if the understanding of Sabbath as it is in the creation should not be expanded to, well, the commandment says that the people who work for you need a rest, your animals need a rest, that the commercialization of earth could be suspended for one day if we were all Sabbath keepers.
I think of one, in fact, I think it was a British Prime Minister, Macmillan, who said the Sabbath was the first great worker protection act. So that your slave may rest as well as you, and your ox.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder if consumerism was suspended for a day, that would reduce consumerism by 1/7. It seems like we go, go, go. Everything has to be driven by more, 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 and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Would we need as many resources if we all took Sabbath off?
Yeah, yeah. So to speak. And would we be healthier? Would there be less stress? I know here on the college campus, I talked to the chaplain, and he says that Friday night, you know, there's a Vesper program where everybody gets together and there's singing and somebody delivers a message, and then there's kind of a fellowship time, and everybody says there's no less stressed time during the week, because as Sabbath comes, people don't worry about all the homework. Now, Saturday night, they start thinking about, oh, I got to start getting back to homework. But Friday night, there's this day coming which is not programmed in terms of academics and work and so forth. And that's the time when everybody relaxes and de-stresses.
It's a 24-hour period when students and faculty can take time off and not feel guilty that they're not doing something.
That's true.
As one of my colleagues said, we are forbidden on the Sabbath to worry about all those things that we worried about during the week.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, liberating prohibition.
Mm-hmm. That's a funny turn of words, a liberating prohibition. We tend to think of prohibition as the other way, or Alden. Mm-hmm. So, do you see any significance, any difference between what some people refer to as keeping the Sabbath or celebrating the Sabbath? You know, keeping the Sabbath seems to be that you have all these little rules and you have to make sure that you don't break them, otherwise you've broken the Sabbath, whereas celebrating the Sabbath seems to be a much more open rejoicing. Any comments about that?
Well, it seems to me if one is celebrating the Sabbath in a biblical sense that one is likely also keeping the Sabbath with what the original intent might have been. That whereas if one is keeping the Sabbath in a rules or legalistic sense, sometimes it's difficult to see the celebration part of that.
Yeah. And of course, we like to emphasize the part about not working, and so sometimes in some people's houses, the food is rather spare, and, you know, some places it's left over from Friday because they don't want to work on Sabbath, whereas celebrating the Sabbath might result in a feast. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some Sabbatarian ideas that are probably weakening in our culture, but I know growing up in America, worshiping on Sabbath from sundown to sundown, we watch the clock to try to be ready on time on Friday, but then on Saturday night, we watch the clock for the liberation. You know? And I was struck when we went to
run wild after the sun went down.
That's right. But in Germany, when I taught there for a year on the Adventist campus, and I was a bit troubled initially because it seemed to me that they weren't ready for the Sabbath on time on Friday. But the amazing thing was, maybe because they were a little freer in the kinds of things that they did on Sabbath in terms of tossing a ball around or kicking a ball around, but when sundown came, and we were on many occasions in the Sabbath-keeping homes among the Germans, sundown would come, go, worship would continue on without any sense of irritation, half hour, 45 minutes after the sundown. It was as if they were reluctant to let the Sabbath go.
Wow,
I thought
wow.
That was such a wonderful thing to think, you know, this has been such a blessing. We don't want to see it go.
Now, that's an interesting thing, though. What do you think about the genius of God in establishing a memorial in time instead of out of gold or marble or concrete or something like that? Does that strike you at all?
Yeah, anywhere you are, you can worship.
Oh, yeah. So in other words, it's not limited to space. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about durability because when one regime topples, the monuments come down. But because this one is in time.
Well, it's immaterial.
Yeah.
So it matters not on your station in life. You have the opportunity to observe Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dependent on how wealthy you are or where you're located. It's a something that you can observe and celebrate regardless of your station in life, if you will.
It doesn't cost any money.
Right.
You don't have to be rich.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some fun calculations that go on because the Bible talks about Sabbath from sundown to sundown. And then you have problems with the international date line. And, you know, I think is it Samoa that's been battling back and forth as to whether it's going to be on the eastern side or the western side of the date line. And
when you go into space, then where's Sabbath? And
or go to the poles, one or the other. And
yeah. You know, I've often thought that the Lord has placed a huge responsibility on human beings for preserving the Sabbath. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where there are no calendars, you have to keep track of everything, and if you're not careful in a situation like that, you'd lose track of the Sabbath. You don't know when it is. So it is important for us as a community to preserve the Sabbath because it's just in time. The Lord won't send bolts of lightning. So if we want the blessing, it's up to us to take steps to preserve it.
Mm. Now, in the Christian community, there's, of course, a great divide about Sabbath. Sabbatarians arguing that we ought to stay with the Genesis account and that Saturday is the day God blessed. There are many Christians who worship on Sunday because they want to recognize the resurrection. Any comments to make about that?
There are many people who will talk about the principle, and I'm talking about those who worship on Sunday, talk about the principle of sacred time, that God, you know, requires us to give a certain amount of our time. But today, that's our choice. But I know I made several visits down to worship in the South with one of my former students who is an active Christian but part of a Sunday-keeping community. And as I held seminars there, it occurred to me that Sunday doesn't have nearly the bite the Sabbath has. I mean, one of the things that we can do here is we can come together as a group of Christians on Sabbath afternoon, and we don't have to worry about the garden, don't have to worry about going shopping, those kinds of things. It's a day which God has blessed, and it's a wonderful gift.
And how should we understand that phrase, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? That looks like a very interesting verse, because it seems to put the priority not on the Sabbath, but on man.
Certainly on the fact that it is for our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what else you might want to bring up here about the Sabbath. What about the Sabbath and worship? Are we mandated to worship on Sabbath? Is that discretionary? Is it possible to be a Christian and not go to church? How about those questions?
Well, I do know there are many increasing number of Christians who keep the Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath, but worship on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And one could even argue that a pastor ought to have a Sabbath because he works hardest.
On church day.
On church day, yeah.
Well, I'm wondering then, is it fair to ask, with two theologians present, what does Sabbath mean to a theologian when they spend Sabbath the way they do on a church day?
Well, in the day I was involved in a lot of church activities, preaching and so forth, I told my congregations I had a Sabbath work problem, and they didn't like that. But I said I resolved it by simply saying that the preaching and the work I do there is my contribution to communal life. I get paid for the rest of the week, particularly for managing conflicts to make sure they don't get big. Oh, boy. Jesus, of course, had a lot to do with the Sabbath and actually created quite a few firestorms about the Sabbath. And I wonder if there are any lessons for us to take from those many instances.
An intriguing book is one written by a former colleague of mine, John Brunt, Day for Healing, in which he points out that the key Sabbath, there are at least five healing miracles where Jesus healed specifically.
Deliberately on Sabbath.
On Sabbath. He could have done that any other day, but it is a day for healing.
Mm.
And in one case, he actually commanded a man to pick up his bed and walk.
Yeah. It certainly seems, because also when they took grain in their hands and harvested it, so to speak, it seems like it is possible and has historically been the case that the Sabbath has been buried by a lot of rules and regulations when it should be a freer day where we are free to enjoy family and interaction with human beings and with God. And I would point to the fact that there are numerous examples in the Bible, including that admonition of worship, not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. So, thank you, Bob and Alden, for dashing through the subject with me. Thanks to Chad Ofterhaar, our engineer. We are coming near the end of the quarter, and we thank you, our Good Word listeners, for staying with us. For Good Word, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.